Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. I just had an endoscopy colonoscopy last week. The most difficult part, it wasn't the prep like most people. It was the potential results that stressed me out. I had 3 polyps last time and diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus. Were things better or had they progressed? Turned out fine with a couple of polyps they removed. But that didn't reduce the anxiety of waiting. We live in stressful times. The price of food, heck, the price of everything. Proposed healthcare cuts. You find out that your healthcare plan just increased your annual contribution before insurance kicks in. You need a new roof. You need to get your car repaired. And then the whole issue of politics and most likely hundreds of other scenarios in our lives. You can just feel your heart rate and blood pressure rise. Who knows what else is going on that may be damaging your body, from your brain to your kidneys. A recent study tested a theory of how to deal with this stress and anxiety. As I was lying there, waiting for the drugs that put you in la-la land while the procedures start to commence, I used a form of the technique used in this study of dealing with stress, rhythmic breathing. But first, the paper. Researchers recruited 27 graduate students to participate in a clinical trial to test 2 types of deep breathing in stressful situations. The only issue they cite was that they had no male volunteers, so the results may only apply to women. They tested heart rate via EKG, electroencephalogram, as well as verbal responses. The EEG gave the researchers the chance to see the responses in specific areas of the brain. While complex in interpretation, they were able to identify areas associated with stress and relaxation. Now, they used 2 different breathing techniques. The first response was a quick 1 second in and 1 second out. The slow technique was 3 seconds in and 3 seconds out, done in a rhythmic pattern, and I'm not going to demonstrate that. The key to both was belly breathing, where as you breathe in, you expand your belly. The slow technique reduced heart rate more than the quick breath technique. Why would slow belly breathing impact heart rate and brain activity? Well, it may be the impact on the vagus nerve, which impacts both breathing and heart rate to slow them down. No matter how, slow rhythmic breathing in stressful situations work. The specific technique I use is 4 seconds in, a 4 second hold, 4 seconds out, and another 4 second hold. Now, there are many permutations taught in everything from yoga classes to mental coaching programs. When you're not in a critical stress situation, it can help you focus your thinking. And that's the latest on the science of rhythmic belly breathing. Let's turn to another topic that I've thought about. What else does HMG-CoA reductase do in the body? Now, I bet you're sitting there wondering, exactly what is HMG-CoA reductase? Well, let me ask you, do you have high cholesterol? Does your physician want you to take a statin medication? HMG-CoA reductase, also known as 3-hydroxy-3-methyl-glutaryl-coenzyme A reductase, is the rate-limiting enzyme in the production of cholesterol. Well, what does rate-limiting mean? It controls how much cholesterol can be made by the body, primarily in the liver. What is not apparent is what slows it down or speeds it up naturally, with the exception of the initial chemical in the chain, acetyl-CoA. Too much could speed it up, while too little could definitely slow it down. Another chemical that appears to have a role to play is iron. That not apparent thing I mentioned? There is a feedback mechanism that can inhibit the action of the enzyme if too much end product is being made like cholesterol. which begs the question, why would cholesterol levels increase with a feedback mechanism in place? Well, statin medications are designed to block the action of the HMG-CoA reductase, not everywhere in the body, nor reduce its action to zero. That would kill you, because your body needs cholesterol for a variety of reasons to support life. But if levels are too high, it can reduce cholesterol levels, thereby decreasing the risk of the buildup of plaque in arteries. The production of cholesterol is an elegant biochemical process. Acetyl-CoA is a two-carbon molecule. Cholesterol is made by chemically building a 30-carbon structure that looks like three hexagons connected to a pentagon. It loses three carbons and becomes a backbone for the manufacture of steroid hormones, bile acids, and vitamin D. So going back to my original question, what else does HMG-CoA reductase do? It helps manufacture coenzyme Q10 and heme A. Now, coenzyme Q10 is a chemical that's critical to the production of energy in the mitochondria, while heme A is critical to the oxygen-carrying ability of heme. Those other chemicals could also be blocked when a person uses a statin. That may be why people feel fatigued and also have muscle pain when they take a statin medication. Fortunately for most people, they adapt as the body adapts to this medication. And now we both know what else HMG-CoA reductase does in the body. I'll finish this with a personal story with a point to it. My first real job after high school was working in a foundry. Hot molten steel, cores to make the forms, black sand mixed with something like molasses. I was a general laborer, which meant I could do anything that needed to be done. Mostly, it was pushing steel rods through a grated hole in the floor so they could be cleaned and reused in making more cores. Well, what did we make in this foundry? Couplers for trains. The female junction, the male joiner, and the locking coupler. Now, the male coupler piece was made 5 to what looked like a tree. Think of a model car where you have to break off the parts before assembling them. The parts had to be broken from this cast iron tree and placed on a large pallet for heat treatment. I had a 20-pound sledgehammer and a motor lift to move the pieces around because they weighed hundreds of pounds each. I swung that hammer for 10 to 20 strokes before I could separate the first one. Move it on a pallet, repeat. Now, at the rate I was progressing, I wouldn't have filled a single pallet during my entire 8-hour shift. At one point, an African-American man who had worked there for years took the sledgehammer from me and motioned for me to step back. Did I mention that there was a constant roar in the foundry that made talking almost impossible? He lifted one of the trees with a motor, pointed to a spot on one of the knuckles, struck it once, and it fell off. He repeated it 4 more times with a single blow and knocked each coupler off the tree. Then he handed me back the sledgehammer and walked away. I couldn't always get the couplers to break off with a single blow, but I wasn't 10 for sure. 2 morals to the story. While I was a 17-year-old kid who was really shy, if you have something you can't do well, you gotta ask for help. Doesn't matter whether it's related to work, business, play, or your health habits, you have to get past trying to figure out things for yourself. And second, when you find the solution from a mentor, coach, or whoever, you have to practice it until you get it right. Not everything is as simple as trying to break cast iron couplers off a mold. And that's it for this episode. If you like the podcast, please hit the like button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Till next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.